You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Movie BS with Aaron Snyder.
Chip and Eric were walking through the woods one night. That's right. When they saw something giving off an eerie light. So bright. Turned out it was an alien meteorite. That's right. And its radiation gave them superhuman insight. So bright.
And on that day, they vowed to use their powers for good instead of evil, swearing to protect mankind from the vile clutches of their evil arch-nemesis, Bad Cinema. And if you find yourself in a bind at the multiplex, not sure what to watch, you too can call on
Movie BS with Aaron Snyder.
Hello, welcome to Movie BS with Baron Snyder, the internet's only movie podcast. I'm your host, Derek D. Snyder. Sitting there across from me, across the internet from me, is my co-host, Jeff Baer.
All the way across the internet. Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Baer. That's Eric D. Snyder, my co-host. This is Movie BS with Baron Snyder, brought to you by OneOfUs.net. And away we go.
I heard a new song on the radio last night, and the song is called One of Us. I can't remember the name of the group. It's very catchy. It reminded me of Queen, the sound of the song. It's called One of Us. So I don't know if OneOfUs.net needs to sue or like get in on some like sort of joint effort or something, some collaboration.
Maybe we won't sue if.
Right.
Maybe one of those things.
Yeah. Or maybe the guys behind OneOfUs.net are the people who made the song. I don't know.
You don't.
Welcome to the show. I'm in Utah this week.
You sounded like it.
I got to visit all my hoes in the 801.
No.
Like I do.
No. No.
You know what? And Dogcat came with me. Brought Dogcat with me on the road trip. He didn't drive because I've seen Toonses. I've seen the Toonses sketches. I know better than to let him drive.
It's a really good thinking. You did your homework. That's always important.
Yeah. Yep. No, he just was in charge of the map. And now we're at my brother's house, and my brother and his family have a cat who is about a year old, also a boy cat. And the cats don't get along. And here's why they don't get along. Because they're both cats, and all cats hate each other.
Your science is sound. Yeah. I've known people with more than one cat, and for the most part of those people, those cats are just always in separate rooms.
Yeah, and I guess eventually cats get to learn to get along, and sometimes it takes more times than others. But yeah, the books say it could take up to a year of two cats living together before they finally accept each other. which, to be fair, sounds like some roommates I had.
Mm-hmm.
But so we're keeping Dogcat in a separate level of the house from Toby.
Good.
Here's the segue into the movies. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. There have been 5 Pirates of the Caribbean movies now. Only the first one came out when I lived in Utah. The rest have all come out since I moved to Portland. Yet I have seen 3 of them in Utah.
Well, that's something. Look at you.
Number three and number five, the screenings happen to be the weeks that I happen to be visiting Utah, so I saw them.
Hang on. Our listeners are writing this down for the test later.
Yeah. 1, 3, and 5 I saw in Utah. 2 and 4 I saw in Portland.
And there's, I guess, from what I've understood, there's already a 6 in development.
Probably. I mean, why
would there be? You have to see that in Portland to keep the system going.
Right, back and forth, alternating.
Otherwise, I mean, maybe the world ends. At World's End? Was that one of them?
That was one of the movies, yeah. Yeah. I looked up my reviews of the other 4 to remind myself what I thought of them. I sort of
downward spiral?
In general, well, yes, I had the third one. The third one turns out to be the one I liked the best. Because it was the most coherent. I understood what was going on the best.
Even more so than the first one.
I mean, the first one wasn't, the coherence wasn't a problem, but the third one felt to me more fun.
Okay.
And then the second one, no. And the fourth one, no.
Yeah.
But shall we talk about the fifth one? Shall we get right to it?
We might as well. I mean, I think the first one's a good movie, and then it's all downhill from there is what I kind of remember.
Pretty much, yeah. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Yes.
At World's End was the third one, right?
Yes.
And I gave On Stranger Tides a 4.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Yeah, that was the fourth one. Right. Okay. Yeah. And now we're back with the fifth one. New directors, Gore Verbinski did the first three, and then it was Rob Marshall did the fourth one. And now it's they outsourced it to a couple of Norwegians. Joachim Roning and Espen Sandberg. Joachim and Espen collaborated on this. And, you know, it's more of the same.
It's more of the same. It really is. It's this time around, Will's son, Will Turner, played by Orlando Bloom, Once Upon a Moon.
You remember, he was missing from the fourth one. He and Keira Knightley, not in the fourth one. They were dead weight. Well, they dropped him off. They replaced them with different dead weight.
And one of the reasons, story-wise, was because, if you guys remember, which there's no reason you should, Will Turner ended up replacing his father at the bottom of the ocean on some ship.
On the Flying Dutchman.
Gaining barnacles.
Right. He took his father's place, on the Flying Dutchman. And so now in this one, Will Turner's son, young, what's his name? Henry Turner.
Henry, yeah.
Played by Brenton Thwaites. Now he is now trying to get his father out of Flying Dutchman. And the way to do it, here's what they need. Poseidon's trident. They got to find Poseidon's trident. Or at least...
Not Aquaman's. Aquaman's is totally different.
Poseidon's trident, or they can't find his trident, then his dentine. His juicy fruit, at the very least. They got to find Poseidon's trident, and with that, that can break any curse of the sea.
But... Guess what? It's impossible to find. No man can find it.
Yeah. No man can read the map or something. The map
right. The movie makes a point that the scientist in the film, Karina Smith, played by Kaya...
Scodelario?
Scodelario.
Kaya Scodelario!
She's a woman. Oh. So I think they use the joke 3, maybe 4 times that it's like, what? No man can read this map? Well, it's a good thing I'm not a man then.
Right.
And blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so the movie earned some feminism points there before completely undoing them all with just the rampant, horrible sexism throughout the movie, which does fit with Pirates and with the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disneyland. It was sort of that sort of gently sexist thing with, the wenches and everything. And I guess it's less sexist than real pirates were, what with all the raping and murdering they did.
Yes.
In the movie, the movie pirates don't rape. These are the fun kind of pirates. They're just sexist, but they don't rape.
Well, okay, you said fun kind of pirates. There's plenty of setups. There's plenty of punchlines. But like, as I'm watching them, I just technically realize their setups and punchlines, but they're not humorous at all. Like, this banter is weak, very weak at best.
Very weak. I guess when I say that their pirates are fun, I mean that they seem to be having fun.
Right. Captain Jack Sparrow, for my enjoyment with this character at this stage, if I'm sitting through these movies, I would like him to be less drunk. I would like him to consider like toning it down a little bit instead of going the other way.
Hmm. Well,
that would help me get through these movies a little bit better.
Unfortunately,
this is not a fun Johnny Depp character at all anymore.
I agree. It's a burden. Unfortunately, we're dealing with an actor who doesn't go in that direction. He only gets bigger and bigger.
That's right.
And I tend to think that in this one that he just actually was drunk the whole time.
Yes, I would sign off on that.
Here's who we're dealing with. He wants to get Poseidon's trident.
Oh, and the compass that's been used before
Jack
is around.
Jack Sparrow has
finds
this,
whatever you want.
Has this compass that's magic. Somehow giving that away, trading it for a bottle of booze, somehow freed up Captain Salazar. Captain Salazar, played by Javier Bardem, and he's one of those ghost pirates that they have a lot of in these movies. He's a disintegrating, deteriorating ghost. With a ghost army or a ghost crew on a ship. But they're kind of zombies, too, because they seem to have some physical form. Like, they're not just ghosts.
Right. You know, it seems like they can pass through some objects.
But they have, mass, and you can, touch them, and they can hit you and stuff, too. So I'm not sure how it works.
It's also, I thought I had an understanding of it, and it almost looked like he could just kind of appear where he wanted. Other times... when the movie wants him to not have those powers, then he just doesn't, and then there's just sword fighting. So whatever.
Captain Salazar wants to kill Captain Jack Sparrow. He's going to find Jack Sparrow.
The Sparrow.
The Sparrow.
Jack the Sparrow.
Also, there's Captain Barbossa. That's Geoffrey Rush. He used to be a ghost, didn't he?
Yes.
Barbossa was a ghost at one point, but now he's a regular man.
He's a regular man pirate, mm-hmm. and he's controlling the seas. Whereas Jack doesn't even have a ship, and whatever. Who cares?
And so then there's a young woman. This is Karina Smith, Kaya Scodelario, accused of being a witch because she knows science. She has a diary. A diary from her dead father that she never knew, she is guiding her to find the map so that they can find the trident.
And she just wants it because. It's just an obsession. She doesn't have anything she would do with it.
Right. It was her father's project, apparently, I guess. Right. And yeah, whatever. So that's what's going on. All these people want to get the compass and or the trident and or they want to kill Jack Sparrow.
And with that, the movie looks really good. The set production, the ships, like it does feel like you're there in many instances.
The very cool and beautiful images. One sequence, I like the finale, which is set sort of in the sea where it's been parted a little bit, like Moses, where there's a divide between the two halves of the water, and they're down in the trench between them. And that's all very beautiful and cool looking. I enjoyed that. But it's ceaseless buffoonery. Ceaseless, mirthless slapstick and bumbling around and knocking people over and making jokes about...
And sometimes Captain Jack Sparrow might have to, marry an ugly woman.
Oh, man,
which is just... I can't believe you don't cut that scene.
Very cringy, where he was going to be forced into a wedding, a marriage. Yeah, and the joke is that she's this big, ugly girl.
And the best upon that would be... but Jack, you don't want to die, right? I don't know.
It's funny that that sequence is in there because in the actual Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disneyland, they undid some of the old sexist stuff. They changed some of the attraction to make it sort of less offensive in that way. And then here's the movie, I guess, getting... This is classic Pirates of the Caribbean. It seemed very tone-deaf to include that.
It did. If you've liked all of these movies... especially the first, there is reason to like this one. I won't discount you for liking 2, 3, and 4. Although, you're a little bit wrong. But there is heavier nods to 1 than there has been of late, at least with 4, as far as some characters. And that might make you happy, but it didn't earn anything for me. And once again, so Henry Turner wants to find Jack Sparrow because Jack Sparrow has the compass and then he can find the trident.
Right.
Yeah. So then, of course, Jack asks Henry Turner about Elizabeth Swann, his mother. And it's just uncomfortable stuff.
Very gross.
Because,
oh, yeah.
Because Jack Sparrow's gross.
Describing how hot this young man's mother is. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else didn't I like?
With Javier Bardem. Yeah. He was okay. My main problem is they give these films so much CGI that it feels like I'm not really watching the actor work.
Yeah.
So that's my main flaw there. And Javier Bardem is a little bit on occasion hard for me to understand. And with the excessive CGI, I felt like compared to other roles, this one was maybe a little bit harder. But the good thing is I knew he wasn't saying anything terribly important when he was talking, just like nobody did in this film.
Right. He's not important. It's not important because it's he's saying it in the Pirates of the Caribbean movie. I like Geoffrey Rush. Geoffrey Rush is a very good actor. One of our best actors. And even when he's doing... nonsense. He finds the truth in it as an actor. He finds the truth in the role and in the situation, and I appreciate that.
He's the MVP of this movie by far.
Johnny Depp is also a terrific actor, but he is not trying. He's not trying here.
And the character, oh man, sometimes this character has no purpose. Sometimes this character has slight motivation. Here, his motivation is he doesn't want to die from somebody trying to kill him.
Right.
And he's on another adventure where he's roped into things of helping people.
It was the whole thing was better when he was a supporting character and not the main character. Not that I want more of Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley because they were boring. But there's zombie sharks. I like zombie sharks.
that was the weirdest. But the logic
Yeah, because again,
for
they're
this
supposed
movie
to be ghosts,
to have zombie sharks,
but they have physical form, so they can. I don't understand. I don't understand.
And why would they have them? Like, why would this curse make zombie sharks too?
Maybe because I don't know. I can't think of an answer for that.
Right.
So there you go. It's a C minus. Dead Men Tell No Tales. C minus.
It's a 4 out of 10.
All right.
And now it's time to talk about Baywatch.
Nope, I didn't see it. Sorry.
Okay, next.
No, go ahead.
Oh boy.
We've liked some of the movies that the director made, Seth Gordon. Previously, he directed that documentary about Donkey Kong or something. King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters.
King of Kong. Love that movie.
That was good.
One of my favorites.
Uh-huh. He did Horrible Bosses, which was all right.
It's not bad.
Identity Thief was not good.
Nope.
And now Baywatch. And a bunch of, bunch of TV in the middle there. He's done some TV, too.
So he's trending downward.
It seems like.
I think it's fair to say.
So tell me about Baywatch.
The movie starts slightly promising, and I'm just going to describe the opening sequence.
Okay.
Somebody gets hurt in the water.
Love it.
And it looks like visually good.
Zombie and, sharks?
And Mitch, played by Dwayne Johnson,
mm-hmm.
Mitch Buchanan, is at Tower 1 and on a mission, sprints down, dives in the water really good, saves the guy, everything's cool. And then, and there's no comedy, it's just played straight.
All right.
And then he's carrying the guy out of the water, and like, the word Baywatch explodes behind him. Dolphins hop out of the water and flip. And I'm like, yes, okay, zany fun. Let's do it.
Over the top, yeah.
And then mm-hmm. we meet Zac Efron's character, Brody, Matt Brody.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I was a fan of the TV show. Why wouldn't you be? I was a boy, Pamela Anderson and whatnot. It's given.
I never watched the TV show one time. I knew that it was very popular the world over. But yep. It never interested me.
Zac Efron's Brody is cocky, and sure. He thinks he's too good to work with a team. He's also won 2 gold medals because he's a super fast swimmer,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he thinks he should get a free ride, even though he also like disgraced his Olympic legacy.
Oh,
and so it is a movie that constantly repeats itself with Brody needs to quit being a hotshot,
mm-hmm.
Stop taking risks and putting the team in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to work as a team player.
Sure.
And Brody is like, give me one more chance. Okay, now give me one more chance. Could I please have one more chance? Haven't you ever done that before? And that's the film. And so there's clashing. Until the very end, there's no like bromance aspect between Brody and Mitch Buchanan.
Hmm. All right. All right.
The plot of the movie is that
some people are drowning and have to be rescued.
They watch the bay.
Oh, okay.
They watch the bay. And with that, that's not just being a lifeguard. That's, you know, being the first kind of Coast Guard or first kind of police, first kind of this.
Mm-hmm.
DEA, drugs wash up on shore. That's my problem. That's not for the DEA to turn over.
All right.
And Brody, who's an idiot,
right.
Keeps saying things like, yeah, but shouldn't we just watch the beach? We should turn this over to the police.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not played for laughs until suddenly then, like, the police are involved and like, what are you fools doing? And you're like, yeah, that would be a funny joke if Mitch wasn't serious about it the entire time.
Right.
Like, there was nobody in on these jokes that the movie was attempting to make. And then it gets worse because we have a Josh Gad type.
Oh.
Named Ronnie.
Yeah.
Actor's name is John Bass. I'm not familiar with him, but he was in Loving, which we saw. I can't remember. I can't remember seeing him in anything else.
Yeah,
I
mean, he doesn't look familiar.
He is terribly, terribly annoying in this role. Maybe he is funny. And maybe I will see something later that will prove why he got this part to be the Josh Gad of this film. Because whenever there is a stalled moment, he literally enters the scene like a wacky neighbor to do something stupid.
Yeah.
And by something stupid, I mean getting his penis caught in something.
Sure. As one
sinking
does.
In the shower naked when he was supposed to have his clothes on. And what's awful is C.J. Parker, played by Rohrbach.
Kelly Rohrbach, yeah.
Kelly Rohrbach.
Who was C.J. Parker in the TV show? That was Pamela Anderson.
That was the Pamela Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
A strong, very sexy, independent woman. That's okay. Who she was.
I'll take your word for it.
This CJ, the only purpose of this CJ to exist is for Ronnie to worship her and for her to flirt with him and like receive his affection out of no good reason.
All right.
Because he is actually an annoying person for the most part. And it doesn't make sense to just reduce that female character in this film. It's annoying.
I don't believe you that she was a strong, independent character in the TV show, but all right.
Victoria Leeds is the villain here, and that's from Priyanka Chopra?
Sure.
Okay. And she makes sure to let the audience know that it's like, look at this. Isn't this progressive? Like, I'm a woman. I can do this too.
Okay.
But again, the movie doesn't feel progressive in any sort of way. It feels like somebody watched 21 and 22 Jump Street and thought, I can do this with Baywatch, and they were just dead, dead, dead wrong.
Okay. I've lost interest. What do you give it?
Man, it's a 2 out of 10. It's one of the least favorite movies I've seen in a while.
All right.
I just want to talk about more annoyances with this movie, but I won't.
Thank you.
I won't.
On DVD this week, Get Out. Get Out comes out this week. You should see that if you haven't.
You should make it a priority.
That's a good movie, Get Out.
It's a tremendous movie, the best of the year. The one I'm looking forward to is The Great Wall, because when you described it, it suddenly sounded like a good time.
Yeah, The Great Wall is a good time. It's big and silly. But it's for me very fun, and it's especially if you're about 13 years old. If you're about a 13 year old boy, it's right exactly for you. So yes.
Nice. What did you end up? Did you give that a solid B or maybe even a B plus?
It was a solid B. Okay. B for The Great Wall.
And then there's two animated movies that probably couldn't be more different. But I actually haven't seen either one.
My Life is a Zucchini.
Wasn't that nominated Best Animated Oscar?
Yes, it was nominated for animated film. My Life is a Zucchini. It's
and
French.
Then one from 2017 that won't be nominated is called Rock Dog.
Probably will not be nominated. I mean, we don't know.
It won't be. But then there's one more big one.
Logan.
Logan and Get Out. Man, seeing those early in the year gave me such tremendous hope for what 2017 could be. It's been tapered a little bit thanks to Pirates and Baywatch, but still. There's still hope.
Oh, you know what else? This horror anthology called XX, double X. I was never clear how we were pronouncing it, but it's XX, as in the chromosome, XX. And it's...
This is from Sundance, you saw this.
Yeah, Sundance. You have 4 or 5 short horror films, horror-ish, all directed by women. And it, like all anthologies, it's hit or miss, but it overall is definitely worth seeing if you're a horror fan, XX. So there you go.
No giveaways this week, but hopefully we'll have something soon for you people.
Yeah. If you're good. Now it's time to update the Summer Box Office Challenge.
No need to update mine. Once again, I decided to not have any May movies at all.
You just said nothing for me in May. Yeah, I had Alien Covenant, which did okay, $36 million. I was thinking around 40, and that's all right. To be fair, it's not a very good movie, so I guess $36 million is fair for a movie that's not very good.
Wait a minute,
seems about right.
This weekend you have Pirates of the Caribbean, so what
I
do
know.
You
do? Well, I'm hoping that it's very popular anyway.
I hear. I know what it's tracking. I looked earlier today.
What is it tracking?
First,
yeah.
What would you be happy with, Eric?
The same as always. Pirates. I expect the Pirates movies to be very big, so I would think that this is going to be like a $60 million. What's it tracking?
I don't like when you undersell it like that. 85 to 90.
Oh, it's tracking 85 to 90. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. That'll be good. That'll be good.
Which I think is lower than the last. I think the last one did 100.
But then next week. Next week, I got Wonder Woman, which is going to be huge. Oh, Wonder Woman's going to be so big. It's going to be so big.
Well, the fact that it's hard to ignore the positive buzz is a good sign for you.
Mm-hmm. But also, it'll be up against Captain Underpants, which is one of yours. So,
which one will win? Who knows?
So there we go. Currently, for the record, currently I stand at $217.6 million. and Jeff is at 0.
Nil.
So, still feeling pretty confident.
Captain Underpants, for the record, and I'll talk about this next week, I'm hoping you make over 20. That's my hope.
That would be good for that movie. This weekend, of course, Memorial Day weekend, traditionally the beginning of the summer movie season. But
it used to be.
It used to be. That changed. Do you know, it changed actually 15 years ago. 2002, when Spider-Man came out May 5th or 4th or whatever.
And did such huge business.
Yeah.
That
was everybody the first movie, was like, first oh! to open at more than $100 million. And yeah, from then on, it's been all of May. But traditionally, it was Memorial Day weekend. And so we thought we'd go back in time. Have another one of Jeff and Eric's excellent adventures. We would travel back in time, this time, to Memorial Day weekend, 1997, 20 years ago. 20 years ago.
1997.
This weekend.
20 years ago.
It was May 23rd, was the Friday. I was in college at BYU. And where were you? You were in college. Or
was finishing up my sophomore year? Yes. So it's 20. Getting closer and closer to 21.
Where were you, Iowa?
I was in Iowa.
All right.
Let's see. The summer job was about to be sports camp. I bet I was starting it. Sports camp counselor.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was going to the movies a lot, although several of these I had not seen. But looking at what happened in the box office that Memorial Day weekend, number 10, Anaconda. I did see Anaconda in the theater with friends of mine. You may know my famous friend, Lisa Valentine Clark. She's the face of Chatbooks.
Yes.
Her and her husband.
Insanely talented and very well-written ad campaign. If you guys haven't, if you don't know Chatbooks, watch the ad campaign and you're going to want to buy it too. It's a cool thing that I've actually bought my mom.
Oh, very nice.
Before I knew that she was involved in it.
Yeah. Lisa and her husband and a couple other friends, I think, and I saw Anaconda. And what I remember is that it was the second run. It was the Dollar Theater or whatever. And there's only about 20 people in the audience. And we were the only people laughing at the movie, is what I remember. And that was one of my first good experiences of a movie that's bad that I really enjoyed watching. And that's still my go-to example of a bad movie that's fun to watch. Doesn't make it a good movie, but it is fun to watch.
I saw this movie at Mall of America.
Oh.
Because we were at an Ultimate Frisbee tournament for Nationals. First time Iowa had made Nationals. Mall of America. Some of us from the team branched off and did it. My friend Brian was with us.
I know Brian.
And it was... it was a little disappointing because it was first run and everybody else was just like, really, you guys are going to go to a movie? Like, first time in Mall of America, there's potentially stuff to do.
What are you supposed to do at Mall of America? There's a giant mall, right?
I don't know.
Why is going to a movie
Well, I mean,
less...
there was rides there and whatnot. I don't know if they were doing the rides, though.
Whatever.
Anyway.
Number 9, Night Falls on Manhattan, which sounds like it should be a Woody Allen movie, but it's not.
I believe it's Andy Garcia. That's my guess.
He's in it. Sidney Lumet directed it. I don't know this movie at all.
No, I saw the cover like crazy when I was working at my video stores.
Number 8, Volcano.
Saw it in the theater.
I think I did. I think I saw Volcano in the theater. And this was after Dante's Peak? Had Dante's Peak come out?
Yes.
Dante's Peak was first.
Dante's Peak was a little bit, it was maybe March, I think.
Yeah, it was earlier in the year.
Volcano had Anne Heche.
Yes.
And I was a sucker for Anne Heche's movie career. I liked it. I thought she made a lot of fun choices.
Volcano is the one where Tommy Lee Jones yells at a volcano.
Mm-hmm. And then it stops.
Yeah. Number 7.
It turns cold like his soul.
Liar, Liar. Big Jim Carrey hit. Liar, Liar.
Right.
It was in its 10th week at this point. I didn't see that till video.
I think I agree. Yeah.
Number 6, Father's Day.
Robin Williams, Billy Crystal. Man. I don't know who else.
Directed by Ivan Reitman.
When I first heard of it, I was so hopeful.
I never saw it, but
for this movie.
Yeah, I'll take everyone's word for it that it's bad. Number 5, Breakdown with Kurt Russell.
Good, solid movie.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
What? Oh, yeah, you should add that to your list.
Really?
Breakdown is just, it's solid, yep.
Well, it's okay. Lots of movies are solid, though.
Yeah, well, but it's Kurt Russell, a younger Kurt Russell.
Well, yeah,
younger
I
than
know.
Him.
I just
He's not
know.
Young. But yeah. And that was number 5. That was making $5 million. That's what the number 5 movie would make typically there.
Number 4, in its 4th week, Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery.
It's weird to see that, that's right, that first one wasn't huge.
It was not a huge hit, it was a sleeper, and it developed a big following on video. But yeah, it was plugging away. It had sort It had been released the same time. It didn't. It went up against the. Didn't it go up against the Star Wars re-release or something? Special editions or something. What was it up against?
The Return of the Jedi was still out.
Yeah, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi both were still around. Although I guess they weren't. I had it in my head that those had overshadowed it, but those were pretty much done by then. So yeah, I guess it wasn't anything particular that detracted from Austin Powers. It just didn't quite catch on yet.
Yeah.
But I saw that in the theater. Of course, you know, big SNL fan and Mike Myers fan. Saw that. Good stuff. Very good stuff.
I really liked it. I mean, the two things I... The extra long pain in the beginning when he got out of cryo sleep, whatever he was in. And then my favorite scene in that movie is when he's trying to turn around in the golf cart kind of thing. And it just, oh my God. It just, because he's so dedicated to every, purposely make sure that he turns back every time he reverses, even though he goes like 2 inches. He's like, okay, where am I going now? Okay. And it's just, it's really great.
My other memory of Austin Powers is watching it a second time on video many months later with a couple of friends there at BYU and being surprised at when it was dirtier than I remembered it. And my friends were of more delicate sensibility than I. Like they didn't like storm out, but I knew I felt awkward that it was dirtier than I realized. Number three was The Fifth Element, which I didn't see until much later.
Oh really? Yeah. Oh my gosh. I saw it in the theater. Very excited to see Luke Perry in the beginning because I declared him to be a big movie star. And I was like, yeah, this is the beginning of it. Here it is.
Oh, man. You've never been right about any of those.
Man, did I hate Chris Tucker in that film.
A lot of people love him in that film. But that was the beginning of him just being really annoying all the time to everyone.
It's mainly just the voice. It's a high-pitched, purposely, he's doing a voice. But he doesn't ever stop doing his voice.
He does, but people liked it. Do you know who almost played that role? I learned this. I wrote a feature about this movie a couple years ago. Prince.
What? Oh my goodness! That could be one of the greatest what ifs.
Yeah, I wrote something for Mental Floss a couple years ago. So the director Luc Besson had lined up. This is in 1992. Had lined up Mel Gibson, Julia Roberts, and Prince to play the leads. And it's not I couldn't ever determine whether any of them had officially signed on or were just like in talks or considering it, but it seemed like they were pretty well lined up, and then financing for the movie fell through and so it got delayed, and Luc Besson had arranged for Jean-Paul Gaultier, the costume designer, to meet with Prince in Paris so he could show him sketches of his costume designs. And apparently the meeting with Prince was awkward, as I assume many
every single meeting with Prince ever supposedly is gone.
And Prince later told Luc Besson that he found the costumes, quote, a bit too effeminate.
Mm.
And so it's entirely possible that the production delays would have stopped him from being in the movie anyway. But it's certainly fun to think how it would have been different if the Chris Tucker role had been played by Prince. It would have been quieter for sure.
Yes.
That would have been something.
The number two movie, Addicted to Love, opened at $11 million. This was the first weekend, yeah. And Meg Ryan, along with Matthew Broderick. And I wish it was better.
I never saw this.
Because I was huge into both of them at the time. With Matthew Broderick, this was going to be like an upswing because he hadn't been doing much lately.
Yeah, I never saw it. But the number one Lost World, Jurassic Park, which cost the same to make as Fifth Element did.
Lost World's the one with Vince Vaughn, right?
Yes. Yes.
Julianne Moore, Vince Vaughn, and still Jeff Goldblum,
Jeff
right?
Jeff Goldblum, yeah. And his black gymnast daughter.
There we go.
And The Lost World Jurassic Park opened the weekend at $90 million for the whole 4-day weekend, Memorial Day. It was like $75 million for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And at the time, I think that was the biggest opening weekend ever. It was. It was a new record. Big deal. Huge, huge amount of money. It was unthinkable to make that much money in one weekend. And I saw it opening night, and I found a relevant journal entry.
Oh, nice. Yes. This is the whole reason that I do this. Just to find out and then start. What is the word I'm looking for? Not barraging you with questions.
Barraging me. Yeah.
Is it barraging?
Yeah. Hit me with a barrage of questions. I think it's a verb, too. Barraging.
All right.
Yeah, this is near the end of when I was keeping a good journal. But what I said about it, all I said was last night, Randy, my friend Randy and I Went to see Lost World, the new Jurassic Park movie. It was very good, very intense and suspenseful, and not for children. But in the same journal entry, it was written about once a week, I also mentioned, I say, I went out with Cass on Friday. She came to the show, that would be the Garen's show that Randy and I both performed in. She came to the show along with a girl named Carrie, and then Randy and I doubled. All we did was go to this hamburger place and eat a ton of food, but it was fun. I asked Cass quite a bit about herself, and she seemed pleased to talk about it, but she never asked me any questions in return. So basically, it was quiet unless I was asking her something, which seems like an odd way to run a conversation. But the date went well, all things considered. A second date was at least implied, and she was agreeable to it. I don't know what I'll do. I don't know what I think. I will tell you this now, 20 years later.
And tell everybody how long you guys have been married now?
I have no memory of Cass. I do not remember who that is.
Oh, really?
No, not at all. Not a bit. I looked for her name in other journal entries, couldn't find any. I do not know who that is. I'm sure she was lovely, and it didn't work out for a number of reasons, the main one being that I was a gay homosexual.
Yeah. So for me, if I was at summer camp, I had a very good time.
Oh,
a lot of the camp counselors, it was a very much a party atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
I got to drive a 15 passenger, big van.
Ooh, fun.
I love that.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it was great.
Ooh,
it was a good time.
Big boy gets to drive big truck.
Yep.
So that's what happened 20 years ago at the box office. There's a lot going on. Oh, what else was at the theater? Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion was playing. And
it was in its fifth week.
And Scream in its 23rd week, still hanging in there at number 12.
Still
at the box
getting
office.
A million a week.
Mm-hmm. Good for you, Scream.
I saw Scream in the front row of a movie theater, and I loved it.
Yikes.
Loved every second of it.
So, we have traveled through time, and now here we are back in the present. Let's open up the old mailbag. We had a mailbag question.
We did, from Craig. Craig asked, because he had recently been in Portland, and he went to see Guardians of the Galaxy at the Baghdad Theater on Hawthorne.
The renovated Baghdad Theater.
The place was gorgeous and the best movie experience that he could remember.
Hmm.
So, do we have a favorite hometown movie theater? And if so, is it the building, the programming, or something else?
I haven't been to the Baghdad Theater since they renovated.
I have not been to the Baghdad Theater since
they renovated, and they became a first-run theater. They used to be second-run.
See, the problem for Eric and myself is, should I really see it again first run because I just saw it, wrote my review or said my review or whatever.
Yeah, we don't go to the movies apart from, reviewing very often. And there we don't get a choice where we see it.
But I keep meaning to. I keep wanting to go to a movie there. Cinema 21 is pretty sweet.
Cinema 21 is a good independent theater. I like supporting that theater. And they've got one big auditorium and two smaller ones that they've built. I've always liked Cinema 21's operation and the guy, Tom, who owns it and runs it and everything. I wish I had more reasons to go there.
Agreed.
But just most of the things they show are things that I've seen or that I don't care to see. The Hollywood Theater, too, is another good independent theater that I could tell, you can tell is trying to emulate the Draft House model of fun programming and repertory things.
And I'd say for me, my favorite in Portland is the Roseway Theater on Sandy Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
It's a single theater screen. Good seats, but not stadium. It'd be nice if it was stadium, but for me and my height, I'm okay with it. Dylan in a booster seat. He's been there once. He was okay with it. Great sound, great picture. I don't know if they still do, but like they used to make a big deal. If it wasn't filmed in 3D, they wouldn't show it in 3D.
Oh, that's right.
Wonderful popcorn.
Yes, you love the popcorn there.
Yeah.
They do. Roseway does have great sound and projection. I guess that's probably the... Well, but Hollywood has got great sound and projection, too. Hollywood is where they showed Hateful Eight in 70mm.
Hateful Eight,
and
yes.
They do 70mm series. I saw West Side Story there. I saw 2001 Space Odyssey in 70mm.
Yeah, Hollywood's really good, too. You're right.
A couple of fine theaters here in Portland. Yeah, there you go. Thanks for the question, Craig. Feel free to send us any other mailbag questions. Our email address is moviebspdx@gmail.com. Also, feel free to write us a review on iTunes. Somebody told me just earlier today that it helps with our rankings.
It does. It helps with our rankings. So the least you can do, write us a quick review, give us that rating, and it bumps us up a little bit so then other people can discover our show.
Oh, and a little bit of self-promotion. You know, it's 40 years this week since a movie called Star Wars came out. It was Memorial Day weekend in 1977.
Minute. You in that?
No, but I wrote a thing about it for Vanity Fair. Online at vanityfair.com, I did a thing of 40 things that happened because of Star Wars. One for each year of its existence.
So what happened in 1988 because of Star Wars?
Well, hang on and I'll tell you. 88. Oh, Akira. The anime film Akira released in Japan based on a comic book series that had been heavily influenced by Star Wars. And Akira was many Westerners' first exposure to anime. So that was a big one. Another big Star Wars influence that I was not aware of until I researched this is that Star Wars saved Marvel Comics back in the day. Marvel Comics was struggling. And then they nabbed up the rights to do the adaptation for the upcoming film Star Wars. And those six issues sold millions of copies, like four times as many copies as Marvel's top title was selling on its own, which was Amazing Spider-Man. And subsequent editor-in-chief Jim Shooter said, "Star Wars kept the company alive during a very tough time. That book kept the company going."
Nice.
So without Star Wars, we might not have a lot of things. Anyway, so that's at vanityfair.com if you want to read a thing that I wrote. And that brings us to the end of the show. We got a couple of bad ones this weekend.
Yep.
Go see Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, which is bad. And Baywatch, which you said is bad.
It's worse.
Hmm.
Stay home, watch Get Out or Logan.
Yeah.
If you haven't already.
I'm going to see Baywatch anyway. Despite your caution. So until next week, for Movie BS with Baron Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I'm Jeff Baer.
Thank you for listening and good day.
I said good day.